What's going on? It's Adam. Welcome back to Bringing It Backwards, a podcast where both legendary and rising artists tell their own personal stories of how they achieve stardom. On this episode, we had a chance to hang out with Stacy Ryan over Zoom video. Stacy was born and raised in Montreal and talks about how she got into music. Her dad's a piano player, so she started off on piano at a very early age. It wasn't until high school when Stacy started to play guitar. She had always written songs, but it wasn't until later high school into early college when she started to show people the songs she had written. Stacy talks to us about the massive viral moment she had on TikTok with her song, Don't Text Me When You're Drunk, and the open verse challenge for that song, which landed her on Jimmy Fallon. She tells us about the success of the song, then following up that song with an even bigger hit, Fall in Love Alone. We hear about her most recent release, Over Tonight, and the couple massive tours she has coming up as well. You can watch our interview with Stacy Ryan on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringing It Backwards. It'd be amazing if you subscribe to our channel, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Bringing Back Pod. And if you're listening to this on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, it'd be incredible if you follow us there as well and hook us up with a 5-star review.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're Bringing It Backwards with Stacy Ryan. Awesome. I'm Adam, and this is about you and your journey in music, and we'll talk about the new record.
Amazing. All good things.
Cool, cool. So first off, where were you born and raised?
I was born in Montreal, Canada, and I was also raised there, kind of just outside the city, but I kind of group it in because no one really knows the town that I grew up in. So for easy things, we'll just say Montreal.
Okay, Montreal. What was it like growing up there? I know there's a big music scene there.
Yeah. I mean, I only really got into the music scene when I got a little bit older because I started, okay. You know, I started doing music in school and then discovering new artists and, you know, learning about the Montreal Jazz Fest, which is a big thing. But I mean, growing up there was really, it was really fun. You know, I was able to learn French cause I went to school, in French. So I was able, like, I grew up in an English family, but then also was able to become bilingual, which was super.
That's awesome. You know, yeah. I'm always so like, envious of people that had that, opportunity. I grew up in San Diego, which is like, I could throw a rock over the border from my house and it was, I wish I was in like an integrated like Spanish English school, but I wasn't.
I mean, it's never too late.
Right. I guess that's right. But I know, but it's so much easier, I hear, when you're younger to learn another language.
I mean, yeah. It's like when you're a kid, your brain's just like a sponge and you just kind of like soak it all in. And then if you like, you know, I did elementary school and high school. And then after that, I just kept going to school in French. So it just kind of like solidified my knowledge of it like even more, which I'm like super grateful for.
Yeah. Do you use it often or no?
Not out here. Because no one in LA speaks French.
Or at least you're in LA now. That makes sense.
not a lot of people speak French here, but every time I go back home, it just kind of, it's like riding a bike. Like you don't do it for a long time. And then as soon as you get back to it, you're like, ah, it's like I never stopped.
Right. Right. That's cool though. So how did you get into music then? Do you come from a musical household at all?
So my dad plays piano and would always like play music on like his stereo like every night. And I would just always like, you know, just like be intrigued and listen to the music. And, you know, he was playing stuff from like the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. So like me as this like tiny like 8-year-old child is singing like songs from like Cat Stevens and like ABBA, and everyone's like, how do you know that? And I'm like, oh, you know, my dad, you know, plays the music and he played piano a lot. So I was just very like intrigued and I started like, you know, as a lot of kids do, like bang on the keys when they're younger. But then I progressed to like actually like learning to play stuff. And I was always, my brother and sister are very sporty. They enjoy music, but they don't like do it as like as a career or by any means. Mm-hmm. So I was always kind of, I don't want to say the odd one out, but like, you know, a little bit, I was like, I want to make music my career. And my parents were like, oh, okay. You should have a plan B. And I'm like, I don't want one of those. Yeah. Like, you know, get a degree. And I mean, I was going to school for music, which they fully supported, which was really awesome. And so that was like, it was pretty clear that my intentions were like, music is the only thing I'm going to do. And like, that's it. And if it doesn't work out, well, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But we never had to do that. So
that's amazing. Yeah. So you piano, did your dad teach you piano, or is it mainly you were self-taught, or did you have another teacher?
So he's not a teacher. So he was like, let me put you in contact with my teacher. Like, he had a teacher when he was a kid. And
so you had the same teacher?
So we got in contact with him, but he was already like getting a lot older. And so bringing on like a 9-year-old kid to teach piano, he was like, I don't think I want to do that. Which, you know, like, understandably. I definitely understand that. If that was me, I would feel the same way. So we ended up finding a voice slash, like, it was mostly a voice coach that I got first. And then we had, I don't even think we did, I don't know if we did a full year together, but then she moved away to Ontario. And she referred me to another one of, like, another teacher that she knew that took, like, all her clients. And then I had that teacher for, like, 8 years.
Oh,
like,
wow.
He was, yeah, did everything from like learning like pop stuff to starting to learn jazz stuff to like, so yeah, that's kind of where I really started learning piano with my teacher.
Okay. And you said you took music in school. Did you focus mainly on jazz?
So, yes, I went to high school, and then I was in an intensive music program where instead of like in a cycle of 9 days, like as a schedule, we would have music 6 of those days instead of like 2, which was like the regular music. Like, we also had like after school band, which like you had to be in the intensive music program to be in the band.
Okay.
Or actually, it was a requirement. You could have been a regular student and been in the band anyways, but when you were in the intensive music program, like you had to pick up a concert band instrument. So I was like, I'm gonna play the trumpet. So I played the trumpet for 5 years in high school, which was like really fun. And that's definitely when I started learning about just like branching out of different styles of music and stuff that I had like never known, including jazz. And also just meeting, you know, like friends showing me their artists that they like to listen to. So that's how I kind of like learned about a lot of that kind of stuff. And then after high school, in Quebec, the school process is different than the state. So you don't just go from like high school, college, get your bachelor's. You kind of go to a different school, like different campus, different teachers, different everything. And you get an associate's degree before going to get your bachelor's degree.
Oh, that's, which is smart, right?
I guess. And I don't really know why it's the only place in the world that does it like that, but I did it. So I left high school. Then I did.
So you're what, like 18 are you at like 16?
I graduated high school at 16. I am young though. My birthday was like in the summer. So you graduate at like 16, 17 instead of like 17, 18, 19.
Right.
And then you go to this other school called CJEP, which is before you go to, we don't call it college, we call it university.
Right.
All the same jazz, pun intended. and then I did a 3-year program to get my associate's degree. You could have done a 2-year program, then gone to do your bachelor's. But if you do the 3-year program, you get like an extra year of like cool classes and more time in like the studio and stuff. And my major was literally jazz interpretation. So that's what I was going for, and my instrument was voice, so that's what I was studying.
Oh, so you didn't continue with trumpet once you got out of high school?
No, I would have liked to, and I can probably still like, I still remember all like the fingering and like all the how to sight read or read music, like sheet music and stuff. But I just don't have a trumpet, and I think like there's so many things I need to buy first before I get one of those. But it's like on my list. It's on my list for the future. But yeah, so I did voice, and then every semester we could take a secondary instrument. So like I did jazz piano, which just kind of like was taking jazz piano with an actual like college level teacher was super interesting, because my other piano teacher had never like taught in schools before. And I did like, I took guitar, like jazz guitar, which is when I started playing, because I think I picked up guitar in 2020 or 2019. And then COVID hit.
Yeah. Well, and real quick. So when you picked a guitar before all of this, were you writing music or writing songs or no? Is this all kind of?
So I started writing I started rewriting when I was like 18 because I used to write songs when I was like 9. I was like, I'm going to write a song and like talk about random stuff. And it was like the cringiest like 9-year-old stuff that you could come up with. And then I don't know why, but like I just was like, I'm going to stop writing music until I go through actual life experiences, you know, like heartbreak and whatever, right, and like losing friends and stuff. Because none of that had ever like really happened to me up until like that point, you know, which I guess is
like, well, you were like 9, right?
Right, but then all the way to 18, nothing happened.
Okay, got you.
So I didn't write at all. And then I got into CJEP, which is, you know, where I started like meeting new people and having new experiences. And I'm like, okay, I think I'm gonna like write some music now. And then I did. And I started enjoying a lot, you know, like I was like, oh, wow, I can't believe I didn't do this for years and years because I said I don't have any experiences, which is kind of like a sheltered way of thinking. But I mean, it doesn't matter anymore. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I got into writing for sure around then graduated in 2020 when COVID hit. So I got my associate's degree, which in Canada is called a college degree. It's very like, you know. And then really started playing guitar like crazy. I played every single day in quarantine. Like, what else are we supposed to do? Right. Mm-hmm. Couldn't go anywhere. We couldn't see anyone. And then I started just playing a lot. That's when I started like posting a lot on TikTok, was quarantine. And then I picked up university in the fall. So I'm like, I'm going to get my bachelor's degree. Like cause I didn't really have any plans in the book. So I was like, I'm just going to keep going to school. Cause there's nothing wrong with that, you know. It's
right,
you're not wasting your time by going to school, you know. Mm-hmm. So did a year and a half, which is half, because our bachelor's degree is 3 years, not 4, so it kind of all evens out. You graduate, you get your bachelor's at the same age as you would in the States.
Yeah. And well, if you did an associate, depending on your classes, you could do it in 2 more additional years in the States, but I don't know. I guess technically it's a 4-year yeah, anyway, it doesn't even matter.
It doesn't even matter. But I was on my way to get it. And I, you know, I was doing my classes and I was just like, I was in the exact same program that I did in CJEP, but at like university level, which to me, like there wasn't that big of a difference. I felt like this was like CJEP 2.0 and I was just kind of learning the same things. Mm-hmm. And it was to the point where my teachers were like, hey, like you got 100% on the exam, so you don't need to come to class. Just show up for the next one. And I was like, okay. And I'm like, great. I love sleeping in. You don't have to tell me twice to do that. But I was like, I just wasn't feeling like stimulated and I wasn't, I didn't feel like I was getting what I needed to get out of school. So I decided to take a semester off, which, in my mind, I'm like, I'm never going back. But you know, to ease my parents' stress about having a kid drop out of university, I was like, oh yeah, you know, I just want to take a month off, like maybe try to put out some music, because I had just started talking with a manager at this point. We were going to try to get the ball rolling, you know. And
the conversation with the manager, did that happen because of what you were doing on TikTok, or were you building a following at that point, or how does this person find you?
So this is actually a really funny story. My manager first hit me up, I think it was like November of 2020. And mm-hmm. It was like Instagram DM request. So I probably maybe saw it. Maybe I even didn't. Cause you know, they go to like another folder that you have to go at. Yeah,
exactly.
So I probably maybe didn't see it, or I saw it and I was like, this guy, I don't know if he's legit. I'm not going to answer because you know, like, I don't know. He's like, oh, hey, I'm a manager. Would love to chat. Let's hop on Zoom. And I'm like, I don't know if you're legit trying to scam me. Exactly. So I never answered. And then that was November. And then in like August or September of the year after, he's like, hey, just following back up. Like, I'd love to get on a call or something. And I saw this one again. And then I saw that he had messaged me another time, like months and months prior. And so I just clicked on his profile and I saw that he was managing a girl group called Truesdale that I had been following on TikTok for some time. And they had been putting out like really great looking live performance videos and music videos. And I'm like, this guy's their manager. That means he's doing that. So that's the only reason why I said, okay, let's get on a call. And the rest is history. And now he's been my manager for, I mean, since then. And it's just so funny how it came about, because we always tell the story about how like I ghosted him for like a year before answering him. And yeah, no, he's really great. And we've done a lot since then. And yeah, so met the manager.
Yeah,
dropped out of.
Okay. Yeah. So the manager contacted you just based off of stuff that you were putting out. You had were you releasing music at this point, or was it all basically what you're doing on TikTok or on social media?
So he actually found me on Instagram, which like is not weird. It's just like, I was definitely blowing up more on TikTok than I was on Instagram. So the fact that it happened through that is just like kind of funny.
Yeah.
And I had been on TikTok. This was like November of 2020. So I might have been, because I started posting a lot, like more frequently in like June of 2020. So he like kind of, I was pretty early on. I think I maybe had like 100 or 200,000 followers at that point. So I was like on my way to building, you know, like a pretty good fan base already. And then when he hit me back up in 2021 in the summer, I think I was around at like 400. So I had like doubled in that time. Cause I was like super motivated. I was super consistent. Like, I think that's also a huge part of like social media and like gaining is being consistent. And then the whole, virality happened with the open verse challenge.
Yeah.
And then that was just like, that was the big, that was the beginning of it all. Yeah.
Were you, when you were doing your, even the TikToks that got you up to 200,000 followers, just still so many, was that based off of your own original songs? Or were you doing cover songs? Like how did, like, what were you posting that kind of got people interested?
So I never really posted original music on TikTok. I would like sometimes, like I had written some small snippets and had posted them, but like, it was nothing like, oh, this is like, hey, I produced this song with someone, we want to put it out. It was just very like, I wrote this 2 minutes ago, filmed it, put it on, and nothing's ever going to happen with it again, kind of thing.
Got it. Okay.
And so when the open verse challenge like blew up, I was just kind of shocked, because this was like my original song that was garnering all this huge like attention, and that had like never happened to me on TikTok with an original song, because all my other viral moments up until then were just like riff stuff, cover stuff, you know, which definitely helped me build that foundation. And then I was so like, it's kind of like not an honor, I don't know a better word, but like to have something of yours original that people gravitate towards is like a really great feeling.
No, yeah, I can't even imagine. So you put up for the open voice challenge, you just would put a snippet up of the song. I know obviously it takes off. Jimmy Fallon does it on his show and stuff. But before it even gets to that point, was it something that was like gradually building right away? Like, were you, did you do it and then you're just, you know, step away from your phone for an hour or whatever, come back and it's just like this insane amount of people are using it? Or like, how did that, like, what was that like?
It was definitely, because it's an open verse, people have to like take time to like create something that will go along with it, you know, like they have to like go write a verse, and then a lot of them recorded it with like a mic and a sound interface. So like, it wasn't right away that it kind of like went crazy. But I remember I posted it, and then it did like, I think I remember seeing it got like 40 duets, and I was like, oh, like that's like, that's pretty good. You know, like I don't even know what I was expecting from this. You know, it was just like, we're just going to put it out and see what happens. And then if it goes, it goes. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. And I just remember like it just picking up speed like crazy. And I like my mentions, or not my mentions, my notifications on TikTok, I would like, let's say I would click the button and then I would see them all and it would go back down to zero, like the little counter. And then in literally like 20 seconds, it was back up at 99 plus, just because like, I was like, this is literally crazy, because like, not only were people duetting, so I was getting those notifications. People were tagging me in the comments of all these videos. People were commenting on my original video. And then when Zai, who put out the duet, who's on the official version, mm-hmm. put out his version, I got tagged in it probably like 5,000 times. And I duetted his video. And because I was duetting, or what was I doing? I think we had already decided to put the song out, which was a very quick decision. Like, he uploaded his video January 3rd, and then January 16th, the full song was out. So this was like a 13-day period of us talking with his team, getting like it all together. And I duetted his duet. So it's like me doing the original video, him, and then like me at the bottom. And okay. that video got like 20 million views. And everyone's like, what? She's not even doing anything. And I'm like, you're right. I was literally just lip syncing to his verse, and it got 20 million views. And we put the
song
out.
But you started it all, right? I mean, that's the thing.
I mean, I yeah. And people are like, she's like, you can't even hear her, because I was just lip syncing. I wasn't trying to sing over the video. Mm-hmm. And then we announced that we were putting the song out, and people were super excited. And I think when we put the song out, it definitely got like not mixed reviews, because a lot of people really loved it, but people had gotten so attached to like the dingy sounding TikTok version that I had literally made in my bedroom by myself in like an hour, compared to like the actual produced very well sounding song. And they're like, I like the other one better. And that always happens. That always happens on TikTok. Like, people just get attached to one thing, even if it's like, I think it's just like the nostalgia.
Familiar with it, right? The familiarity, and they're like, oh, this version isn't as good because it doesn't sound exactly like the one that I've been listening to.
Exactly. And I'm like, what you've been listening to is the most like dull. Like, I made this with all instruments on Logic. Like, it was like, I just put it together by myself. I didn't know how to mix it, not mastered, not nothing. And then when people were like, hey, this sounds actually really bad, I was like, but you know, that's just the way TikTok is. And mm-hmm. I still think that song was like the most like perfect start that I could have ever asked for like a career, you know, like it got me signed. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even have any music out before. Like, they just kind of signed me on a whim, because this could have been a one-time thing and nothing could have ever happened after that.
Right.
You know, exactly. And that's why. And labels are obviously very excited about big viralities, but to take a chance and like trust that it will like keep flourishing and a career will build off of that, you know, like it's definitely a risk that they take. That's but I'm glad they did.
Yeah, because you could put the one. I mean, having one song, you'll see a lot of people not like that come out with like, oh, I'll have this TikTok song, and then it's like skyrocket, and then nothing, just falls mm-hmm. flat after that, right? Real quick, so did you have the whole song done, or was it like a piece of it and then you just put up the part, like the open verse thing, and then you're like, oh, I gotta like scramble to finish it, or like, so, how did that work?
This is exactly what happened. I had written the pre-chorus and the chorus, and I had even uploaded a TikTok like a month before that about that pre-chorus, like November 30th, I think I uploaded. I had just written it. I was in a practice cubicle at my university, and I had just written it, and then did the open verse later. I think I had finished the song. I think I had written two verses for it. But then when I brought it to my producers, they're like, I think we're going to have to rewrite it. Like, it doesn't have the same feel as like the chorus, you know, like mm-hmm. how, like, it doesn't match up to it. And so then Zai, who's has the first verse on the song, his verse was great. We didn't even need to change it. We were like, amazing. And mm-hmm. then we're like, we need to rewrite the second verse. And we were doing this while we had already promised that the song is coming out. So like, we said, hey, the song's coming out, pre-save. And it literally was like, just got finished, like being written. And so then I was home in Montreal, because I was in school. Mm-hmm. Or no, it was Christmas break. But I wasn't going back that next semester, because we had decided to take the semester off. And so my producers are in LA, and they're like, hey, like, can you send over vocal tracks? So I'm like cutting all my vocals at home in my room, and sending them off. And, you know, I don't have any direction. I don't have anyone saying, hey, could you do a little more like this? Could you do it more like this? So I send them what I think sounds good. And then they're like, you're going to need to redo it all. Like the energy is just not there. And they were like, I was like, oh, okay. So I redid it, sent it off. And they're like, hey, like, and it was like a very much back and forth. Cause we're like, oh, we need an ad lib right at this moment. Or we want you to do something a little more cool at this part. So like, we were definitely scrambling. And this was all the while I was on Zoom with all the major record labels during the day, because this was all happening like in tandem. It was a lot. It was
I can't even imagine.
Crazy. Like we were sending back like, cause once the song was like done, you know, we sent it to mix and then we had to make sure we liked the mix and then it got mastered. And then we eventually, we submitted it to like, you know, all the DSPs like Spotify and Apple, like 3 days before it was coming out. And usually you have to submit it like a month before it comes out.
Yeah, well in advance, right? And then you hope that people playlist it in like that, yeah, lands that way, right?
That's exactly
the idea behind submitting it early.
Because we didn't want to lose the momentum that was building, because the TikTok, the trend was still going up. So we're like, we need to try to do this as fast as possible. And we put out the pre-save link and I like, we got like 280,000 pre-saves, which was like unheard of. Like we were shocked and we were like, hey, we don't have a song ready yet, but people are very excited.
People are waiting for it.
I know. So that definitely pushed us too, but it was just like such a crazy and surreal experience. And to think that like that started my career with the biggest like bang ever. You know,
right? And then it was like, yeah, Jimmy Fallon does it on his show, and like from there, that's just like so crazy.
I was literally in Henson Studios recording the vocals for my upcoming EP when we got the news that it was going to be on Fallon like that night, and then we go out bowling because I love bowling. And then we see that it's uploaded on the YouTube, so there's a video of me like watching him do it in this loud ass bowling alley. And I was like, it was just, that was also crazy. I was like,
that's so awesome.
And you know what's actually hilarious? Sorry, this is such a, I need to make a very quick segue, but Joe Jonas was the guest on Fallon that night when they were doing the open verse challenges, and he didn't do mine. He just like watched Jimmy do mine. Mm-hmm. And I remember at the end of the video, I give like 2 thumbs up at the open verse. And then Jimmy's like, oh, okay, I think she liked it. And then Joe was like, yeah, she gave 2 thumbs up. And then ever since then, I think like Joe has commented on a couple of my TikToks here and there. And I was at a Grammy after party on Sunday and Joe was there. So I'm like, oh, you know what? I want to go up to him, just say like, I grew up like seeing him like on Disney and stuff. And I was just like, I appreciated how they kind of like went from being so young to like continue their career. I just wanted to like, just tell him that and be like, just appreciate you and stuff. So I go up to him and I'm like, hi, I don't know if you know who, like, you probably don't. And he's like, I know exactly who you are. And I was like, Joe, Jonas. And he's like, yeah, like, I love what you're doing and all the music you're putting out. And I was like, oh my gosh, it was kind of crazy, but that's what a very wild, full circle moment.
Oh, I bet. Oh my gosh, that's so cool. And then, well, I mean, to follow up that song with the one that you have, the thing or this record behind you, that one does even more streams.
I literally was so ready to be like, I've had my big viral moment and I'm going to continue my career and just like, I've built a fan base and that's going to be great. I was so ready to not have another viral moment like ever again, like to that extent. And then the fact that I had another one that surpassed the first one, I was like, how is this even like possible? You know?
So obviously you're going into, you have the eyes on you and this big viral moment. It's like, okay, I've got the next one I'm going to put out, you know, Fall in Love Alone. And then you must have been kind of, you know, were you nervous at all? Or like, is it going to do anything? Am I going to be one of those people that puts the next song out and no one cares? Or was that even a thought in your head?
Of course. But I also am someone who tries not to have expectations about anything, because if you don't have expectations, you can't be like ultra disappointed. You can still be disappointed. Like, you're not shielding yourself from that, but you know, it just kind of helps with that kind of thing. So when we put it out and you know, the numbers obviously were not the numbers of Don't Text Me When You're Drunk, I was like, that's fine, because all the feedback I was getting was, this song is amazing, I love the way it sounds. And I'm like, that's it. That's what I was hoping for, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it just, it was living its life, being very consistent, you know, for like months and months. And then all of a sudden in October of last year, it just like, we saw it jump from like 9,000 streams a day to 25. And we were like, that's a kind of significant jump. And we're like, where did this come from? Because we didn't even know. So we go and we find on TikTok that people were either sharing clips of the music video, like just the music video, like cropped vertically with like the lyrics on the screen, mm-hmm. or even just a black screen with the lyrics on it. That's it. And they were getting like 300,000 likes, 400,000 likes. And we were like, what is going on? And it was all happening over in Indonesia. So that's where, that's what algorithm picked it up on TikTok.
Whoa, that's so fascinating. So yeah, it's doing these huge numbers in Indonesia.
Yeah. And then it spreads to the Philippines and to Singapore and Korea and Japan. So like, we were like, we need to go to Asia as soon as possible. So last end of November, I went to, we did a trip where we did Indonesia, Singapore, and then the Philippines to go like, you know, do content captures, performances, radio interviews, press conferences, like all that stuff. Just because we were like, we need to make sure these people know that like, we see them, we know that they're like streaming the hell out of the song. And so we went, you know, had an amazing time, and people like, they were just loving the song. And now it's so cool to be able to know that I have now this core group of people that will not only listen to this song, but who will continue to like follow my next releases and stuff. And I think like, I would, and never in a million years would I have thought that Fall in Love Alone would have been number one on Billboard in Indonesia. And it just like, it just happened. Like, it, the internet is so wild for that, you know?
Yeah. Like, I'm sure, had you ever been to any of those countries prior?
I've never been.
So you're going there. Yeah. And you have like this massive fan base. Well, that must have been such a trip to show up and all these people are there because they love your song. And you're like, I've never even been here.
It was so wild when I was like out, well, when I was doing, cause I did a lot of mall performances and stuff inside malls. Cause malls are like a huge, like even bigger than like, I mean, not that malls aren't big here, but like over there, like their malls are giant. They have like concert venues and like movie theaters. And like, it's like this whole big thing. And I had like security that would walk me everywhere in these malls, which I was like, I never have that before, you know, like three security guards walking with me. And then people would try walking in front of me. They like put their hand out, you know, and I was like, damn, this is like legit. And also when people like, I was waiting at a crosswalk, having just left a mall. And some girl is like, are you Stacey Ryan? And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, oh my God, like I'm such a big fan. And she was like visibly shaking meeting me. And I was like, this has never happened to me before. And she's like, can I get a picture? And I'm like, oh my God, like, of course. And she was just very flustered. And I was like, I can't believe that me, just me going, like standing next to someone, like makes them feel that kind of way. And it's just like, it's very surreal to experience that for the first time.
That is so awesome. My wife's half Filipino. Where in the Philippines did you go?
So we went to Manila to do all the work stuff. Okay. And then after we were done, I was supposed to come back to LA, but then I was having like visa issues. So I was going to go straight home to Canada. But then me and my manager were like, oh, we should just like do a little 3-day vacay on one of the islands in the Philippines. You know, like we deserve it. We just did like a 2-week long work trip, long days, no sleep, you know? So we went to Boracay.
Oh, cool.
And it was so beautiful. Like, oh my God, the beach was amazing. The people were amazing. The food was amazing. The drinks were amazing. So I can't wait. And I mean, I think it's going to be very, necessary, but also we're going to want to go back to Asia at least once a year, you know, just to like check in, be like, hey, we're back. Like we haven't forgot about you. Like you guys are really important to us, you know, and just like being on that, like on that side of the world. Just to, you know, like at least frequently is something that we're definitely looking towards for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you just released another new song and you said you have an EP coming out. So mm-hmm. I want to talk to you about the most recent one. Over Tonight is the one you put out, what, like last month, I think, about a month ago.
Honestly, what day is it today? February
the
what?
10.
The 10th. So it came out January 13th, I literally, I think yeah. it was. You even know. I was like, I don't know dates.
It doesn't matter.
I don't know time.
It's yeah, it hasn't been out very long, I guess, is my point. So tell me about that one.
Yeah. That's probably my favorite song that I've ever like written, been a part of, put out. Like, I just think it's so special and unique and sounds like nothing else right now mm-hmm. that's out there. And I've been excited to put this one out ever since we wrote it in February of
last year.
So finally it was coming out and I was so excited. And it's like, it's kind of the same thing that Fall in Love Alone is doing. You know, Fall in Love Alone is still having its moment. It's being super consistent, like with like, it's literally doing like 700,000 streams a day. That's like
wild.
It was doing 9,000 for months. So like the fact that it's still consistent is like, it's amazing. Like I couldn't ask for more. And now Over Tonight comes out, new sound, new song, doing exactly what Fall in Love Alone did to Don't Text Me When You're Drunk. You know, like obviously not getting as many streams, but the response has been amazing. People are like, I love this sound for you. Like it just sounds like sonically, like the mix is great. You know, like all the cool elements that we put into the arrangement. And I'm like, that's all I could really ask for. You know, I'm not like trying to be like, I want to go viral for every single song, which I mean, again, I'm not going to be like, don't want that.
Right, right.
It's not something that I'm like looking to hope to happen for everything. I just want people to like love the music that I put out at the end of the day, you know? Mm-hmm. And if some huge viral moment happens, even better.
Yeah, and you're doing what you want to do, right? It's not like you're trying to chase what you did on the first two songs.
Exactly.
So that's amazing. And with that, you talked about an EP. Are you putting those three together and or four?
So, four. Yeah, we haven't announced the EP yet, but like people obviously are knowing that a fuller length project is coming out. Of course, like I've put out four songs already. Like, you know, right. like people are, when's the album coming? Like I get all those questions and we can't really divulge too much yet, but like all mm-hmm. those songs will be on the upcoming project for sure. And some ones that no one's heard yet, or at least no one on the internet, because I play them at every one of my live shows. So if you've ever come see a live show, you've definitely heard every song on the upcoming project.
I was gonna say, you're doing a big tour. You're coming. I'm in Nashville now. You're coming through here.
I am. Yeah. April 12th. So you should come to that show because then you'll hear all the songs.
Yes, I will definitely do that. Are you excited about that tour?
I honestly was like, I'm also someone who doesn't think ahead to things a lot. I kind of live in the moment because if I start mm-hmm. thinking about like everything that's coming up, I'll get like extremely overwhelmed. So I've just been kind of like, yeah, the tour is coming up. But right now, like, you know, we're working on more stuff in the studio and it was Grammy week and I had a residency. So I was really just focusing on that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but honestly, yesterday I kind of like started getting excited, which I was like, because I'm also like a huge homebody. So doing a long tour is kind of scary to me. Right. And just like being like living out of a suitcase, not being settled for like a month is like scary to me. But obviously, I know with being in this career, you have to go on tour. And I do. I love touring. I love performing live. It's like my favorite thing to do in the whole world. So yesterday, I met with Jake Wesley Rogers. Mm-hmm. And we did kind of like a little content shoot just like to promote the tour. And I like got excited. I was like, okay, I'm excited to sleep on a bus for a month and a half with my friends and like visit states I've never been to. Like I get to go to, I've never been to Louisiana. I've never been to Texas. I've never been to Arizona, Oregon, Colorado. Like, you know, like it's the middle of the United States. It's a big tour.
I mean, you're starting where in like, I think Florida and like kind of going.
We're starting in Tampa. Then we're going like Georgia, Louisiana, Texas, Arizona. So the bottom. Then we go San Diego, then up LA or up California.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of continue up, do Seattle, then Vancouver. So we go all the way up. Then we kind of go diagonally back down to do like Denver and then like the middle of the United States, like Minneapolis, St. Yeah. Louis, all those things. And then we make our way to the East Coast and then we finish in like Nashville. So it's kind of like a big loop sort of.
Yeah, I was looking at that because where the tour, I was like, oh, you know, the tour starts at the end of the month, and but Nashville is like the last date, so it's like you're going a big circle,
and then I get to go back to LA for like a week and a half, and then I'm back on tour in Europe with Joshua Bassett.
I saw that. That's exciting.
That's going to be amazing. Like, who doesn't want to go to Europe? And I get to go to cities I've never been to. Like, I get to go to Amsterdam and the Netherlands. I've never been there. I get to go to different like cities in Germany that I've never been to, because I've only been to like Berlin. Mm-hmm. And I get to play everywhere, like a lot of places. And I think we're going to, I don't know. I'd have to check my facts, because I know we're doing London, but I think we're also doing like other cities. Hold on.
I'm looking at your thing now. You're playing Manchester. Glasgow.
Exactly. Yeah. So I've never been to Hamburg, never been to Amsterdam, Cologne, I've never been there. So like, you know, I'm very excited.
Next year you'll be very well traveled.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm like, I tell my manager, I'm like, a lot of traveling also requires a lot, not a lot, but like, you know, downtime and time for me to come back home and like plant my roots again for a little bit of time instead of like, you know, going a month and a half, coming back for 2 weeks, going for a month, coming back for a week, you know, like that is a lot. And that's something I definitely will need to adapt to and have already a lot. Mm-hmm. But you know, you don't want to do it too quick. You know, you want to be gradual, with how much time you're spending away and how much time you're spending at home. We're going to find a balance, and we are. So mm-hmm. I'm excited for all of the traveling that's coming up.
That's amazing. And congratulations on all the success. It's so cool to see.
Thank you.
And I appreciate you doing this today. Thank you so much, Stacey, for your time.
Of course. I had a great time. I feel like we could have talked for like 2 hours and we would have been like, oops, we went over the time. Yeah. Oh, no.
I don't want to take up too much of your time. I'd love to chat with you for 2 hours. But I have one more quick question for you before I let you go. I want to know if you have any advice for aspiring artists.
I do. I think the most important thing, I think there's like three things.
All right.
Listen to your mind and body about what you're doing, which is kind of piggybacking off what we were just talking about. You know, like being an artist is, far from the hardest job out there. You know, like I know there's people out there who work like 20-hour days, you know, like I definitely feel that, but also when like to be able to be an artist, you need to keep up this like, you know, this personality and persona, and like you need time to rest and downtime for that. And especially like going out on tour, like it definitely is exhausting at sometimes, you know. So if it gets to be too much and you're taking on more than you can handle, you need to listen to your brain and just be like, hey, I can handle this or I can't handle this. And you need to like kind of set your ground, which can be hard because you want to do as much as possible, you know. So that's a big one. And then I guess the second one is just like, stay true to who you are and what kind of music you want to put out, because you have to be like proud of everything you put out. If someone's in your ear and saying, hey, maybe you should lean a little more towards this or towards this, like you're not going to end up being as happy as you can be with your final product and the music that you are putting out as like, you know, you want people to associate the music you put out with like, you know, so you wanted to make sure that it's something you're proud of and something that you want to put out.